Well, welcome to the show, Steve. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, were you as confused about question three as we are?
Right to it.
Yes, I think I was equally as confused, if not more so, by the campaign.
If you could distill the essence of question three to a sentence, what do they want to do?
Yeah.
I think to distill it to a sentence would be to say that question three would grant a new right under the Nevada Constitution that guarantees your ability to choose who sells you electricity.
All right. So
it'd be like, okay, and, you know, trying to figure out, like, cable. I have choices in cable. I have choices in internet.
Phone carrier, yeah.
That's like that?
Yeah. More like cell phones, for example. You have a choice of which company you're going to buy your cell phone service from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, and they have various plans and different options that some have better coverage here, some charge less over here. So it's going to be a little more work for consumers to figure out who is going to sell them power at what rates and under what terms.
Well, then I'm against it already. More work.
So here is the biggest question, for me anyway. You look at the two ads, they run them back to back all the time. As far as the rates go, are rates higher in the states that have done this, or are they lower in the states that have done this?
There is no easy answer to that. If you look strictly at residential, for example, because a lot of the listeners want to know, is my power bill that they send to my house every month going to go up or down? It's a mixed bag. There are some energy choice states that have higher residential rates than Nevada currently has under its monopoly provider. And there are some that have cheaper rates than Nevada currently has under the monopoly provider. So one side says the rates will definitely go down. The opponents say it'll definitely go up. The Gwynn Center on Policy Priorities, which studied this extensively, said there's no way to tell because there are so many different factors, not least of which is the price of wholesale electricity depending on where you get it from.
So let's say I already have solar panels. How will that change for me?
It'll change for you in a couple ways. First, right now, if you have solar panels, you sell the excess electricity back onto the grid, and NV Energy gives you a credit for that. If this passes, NV Energy will no longer be in the power generation, transmission, and retail sales business. That company will go away as you know it right now. And so what happens then is that this multiplicity of other companies is going to have to come in, and you're going to have to contract with one of them. Now, here's where it gets tricky. Under the current law, there's no question. NV Energy must pay you for the excess electricity you sell onto the grid, depending on what tier you're in and when you got into the system. That's set. But in the new system, there's a dispute over whether or not that will continue. There's a state law, AB 405, that was passed in the 2017 session that says nothing in Energy Choice can interfere with your contract to sell that excess electricity back onto the grid. But the author of that law, we had him on the show the other day, said this constitutional amendment contains a clause that says nothing can interfere with the right of entities to sell or otherwise dispose of electricity onto the grid. And so the author of that says this could interfere with rooftop solar and all those contracts that exist now.
Ooh,
the proponents say, hold on, if you've got a rooftop solar panel on your house, you'll be a good customer because they can plan better for their energy load when they can count on you selling that excess energy back. But the opponents say, well, no, that's not necessarily the case.
Ugh.
So the problem with this initiative is normally in politics, you've got some kernel of truth that both sides exaggerate to a certain extent.
Right.
In this case, you have absolutely diametric opposite claims being made on both sides, and you have experts on both sides that are willing to back up those claims. So it's very, very difficult, even for the experts at the Gwynn Center, to figure out what's going on.
All right, we're on with Channel 8 political reporter Steve Sebelius, trying to tackle this question three about the energy here in the state of Nevada.
You know, one of the things for myself, I take voting very seriously. When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. Mm-hmm. And I really want to know the issues, and I want to try and figure it out. And I feel like I'm back in high school, and I need a tutor for these damn questions.
Well, this one, I mean, this is a unique initiative, because in most cases, you know what the initiative is going to do.
Right.
In this case, what we're talking about is a constitutional amendment. It already passed in 2016. Now it's going to pass. If it passes again, it's going to be part of the Constitution. That can't be changed without another amendment to the Constitution. That's a five-year process, no matter how it starts.
And I think that that's very important for people to know.
That is a very important factor. In fact, a lot of people oppose it on that basis. The Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce came out against this yesterday, exactly because it was a constitutional amendment. Nevada will be the only state in the union to do this by constitutional amendment as opposed to statute or a regulatory order.
That's important.
And the reason that they're doing it by constitutional amendment is that the proponents of this say that the legislature and the PUC has been so captured by NV Energy and its lobbyists that there's no way they could get this through under the ordinary course of business, so they had to take it to the
people. They do it this way.
Wow.
And, you know, some questions, as voters, we look at and go, that really doesn't matter to me. This affects everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody has
power. Every single person in the state will be affected by this, no question.
So if we don't like it, it's a minimum another 5 years before we can even try to change it. And let's say this does pass. How long before it goes into effect?
It's scheduled to go into effect fully on July the 1st of 2023.
Okay.
Which means that the legislature will have to fill in the blanks, if you will, between now and then. That's three legislative sessions, 2019, 2021, and 2023. And if you look at the initiative itself, it's very short. It's probably about a page long, maybe a little longer.
Okay.
And it requires the legislature to write laws to implement the changes that they've done in broad strokes here in the Constitution. And that scares a lot of people, because what the Gwynn Center found was so much of the effect depends on what the legislature does, how they actually go about implementing it, that you can't really tell what's going to happen right now just looking at this. So, you know, people joke all the time about Nancy Pelosi's statement, you know, we've got to pass the bill to find out what was in the bill for the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
Well, this is literally, we have to pass the constitutional amendment and then see what the legislature does to implement it before we're fully going to understand exactly how this is going to be implemented. People ask very basic questions. Will my rates go up or down?
I don't know.
I be able to keep my rooftop solar intact? Right. Is that going to happen? And the answers are not that easy, even for the experts. I mean, the people who actually have studied this in depth and produced a report of more than 100 pages to essentially say, we don't know.
We're on with Steve Sebelius, political reporter from Channel 8. Now, there were a couple of questions on Facebook that Steve has.
One question was the price. Would the price include not only the cost of energy, but also things like transmission fees and peak demand fees? And that brings up a very important point on this. The one thing that the opponents call it deregulation, it's really not deregulation. It's a restructuring of the energy market, except in one very important point, and that is this: price. Right now, the PUC has to grant permission to NV Energy to raise your rates. They can't just do it. Right. They have to come and ask permission and make their case. It's called a general rate case. And under this new system, there would be no authority of the PUC to regulate price. They assume competition will regulate price, but things like peak demand fees and things like that could be baked into that price. Right now, NV Energy has to justify that in the new system. The companies would not be able.
So they could just basically charge whatever they want, and there's no recourse.
Right. Well, there's no recourse except for that you could switch companies. If you don't like company A, you can switch. But I think one thing is almost certain, if this passes, and that is there's going to be a lot of litigation over how this is going to be implemented. And energy policy is very complex as it is. Mm-hmm. This would just make it more complex, and those court cases are going to be very, very intractable, I think, when this goes forward.
Yeah. All right. So basically, you have to decide which is the lesser of the two evils.
Pretty much, it looks like,
in this situation.
Right.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for dropping by this morning, man. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, anytime.